Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, I was sitting there last night. I got in the mail just a boatload of checks from all my different real estate investments, and I was watching multitude of different new TV shows that are out there, really good. And I was just thinking, wow, this is nice. Just to relax and know that the money's come in the door here by the second of the month. And today's the third, I believe. I haven't actually unwrapped all the checks and set them up for deposit yet. But it was just a really interesting feeling. And then I thought about it. I said, you know, but I haven't worked out in a while. I think I've missed like 7 days, maybe a week, maybe I don't know, it might be five only, but it seems like forever. And then I started thinking about, you know, that's the way this investing stuff happens. I purchased a lot of properties last year, and I've been purchasing for 35 years, 34 years. Yeah, no, actually 35. And you just do it. And I'm equating that to fitness in that what happens is that I work out seriously for a while, and then I kind of slough off. I get lazy. I think it's doing me a lot of good, and then I go, maybe it's not doing me that much good. I don't know. And you go through these psychological ups and downs on these things that are not a day-to-day necessity. These are things you have to think into the future for. So the fitness part of it, I was thinking this was all kind of, and I always try to tie all this stuff together so I have something that I can share with you that might help. But I'm sitting here, I'm 68 years old now, and just had a birthday. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, nobody, none of the males in my family, except one, and I didn't even know this, but except one, would have been dead by my age right now, 68. They're all dead, 65, 66, 67. Nobody made it to 68 except my uncle. And I didn't even know that back when I was young. I always thought everybody was going to die by 65 or 66 because everybody in my male, you know, family lineage did. Except my uncle. And so forever I lived my life as if it was going to end at 65. And then interesting thing happened. I turned 65. And then you go, well, I don't feel like I'm going to die. Even at 68, I don't really feel like I'm going to die. A lot more stuff is starting to hurt. It has every year. Every 10 years, I found new stuff that's wrong with my body. I've survived many, many different things that might have taken me out. But right now at 68 years of age, I don't feel like I'm going to be taken out. And I started thinking, and then all of a sudden it popped up on my phone that if my mother was alive, she would be 90 yesterday. And I sat back and thought, what's happened in my life? My mom's gone. My dad's gone. You know, the only person left in my family, either side, mother or father, is my uncle. And he's like 86. My dad would have been 88. My mom was 90, would have been 90. And then I started thinking, well, my uncle worked out. My uncle didn't smoke. He does drink. We both drink. So there's a notch right there if that's a problem. And whatever it is, you stay semi-healthy. And you think about that. But that's something you decide at 20, 30 years of age. You just decide, I'm going to do this. And then I look and I sit here and I have these pile of checks. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the same thing. I have this pile of checks here right now because I decided to do something when I was 34 years old. When I was 44 years old, when I was 54 years old, and even when I was 64 years old, I'm still buying real estate. And every time I buy another deal, more cash flow comes in. The more cash flow that comes in, the larger pile I accumulate, the larger pile I accumulate, then what happens is that I move on to having to buy something else. And when I buy something else, the cash flow goes up again. It's just an amazing concept. It's just so hard to understand, right? How the heck does it work that way? But it does. And it's something that in any day of the week or the month, you would go, just, I don't get it. Why would I do that? Why would I take the time and the trouble to go research how to buy real estate, how to do it, see that it's difficult, figure out I can't do it, and then convince myself to stop right in the middle of it, which is just basically the same thing I do every time I start back up working out again. And you get in a little bit better shape and it's feeling good. And just when it's feeling good, you get busy, some project, and you go, that project is stealing my time away from my fitness. And like my daughter's a pro bodybuilder and her significant other's a pro bodybuilder. And so when I talk to them, it's interesting because they are what I was when I was in my 30s. They are just fixated on eating perfectly, exercising all the time on a regular basis. And I look back at that now and go, I forgot how dedicated I was to all that stuff. But that stuff that started in my 30s, which was the bodybuilding, actually started in my teens and worked all the way through my mid-30s. I think I quit bodybuilding at like 35 years of age. Kept working out, but quit bodybuilding. All that stuff. And right when I quit bodybuilding, which took 12 hours, you know, I mean, I worked 12 hours a day in a health and gym, and then I'd get off and work out two or three more hours a day, fixated on what I ate. Everything was about fitness. And then one day, I decided I can't do it anymore. I can't spend my whole life being fit. Fit is not the only thing. And so I went out and bought real estate and retired 2.5 years after I started buying in real estate. I was able to get away from the 12-hour day job at the health club and retire. And at 34-something, 34 and a half, whatever it was, I retired. It was like, well, what do I do now? And the answer was, whatever you want. But it was the hardest thing in the world to get over that I didn't have to get up and go to a job every day. It was really weird. And then for the first time, I had all the time in the world I could have to work out. But it was harder to tell myself to work out when I had all the time in the world. And that's the way real estate is. When you have no money, you want to buy it. You go, man, I really need to get some real estate and make some money. But then when you do have money, you go, I got some money. I don't really need it. I don't really need to worry about getting in a better financial position. I don't need to get into a retired financial position. None of that is necessary because now I got a little money and a little job. Everything's going okay, right? What gets in the way of a great life? A good life. What gets in the way of a good life? An okay life. And it's not until you have something that makes you believe you have a bad life do you start putting focus on it. So you need a financial disaster, a catastrophe to occur in your life to make you wake up and smell the gerbil cage. The fact that you're running on a wheel every single day, the fact that your life is a life of quiet desperation, the fact that you don't see your family, your kids, you don't stay in shape, you don't have time for fitness, you don't have time to invest, you don't have the energy to invest, you don't have the knowledge to invest. You're too old. You're too young. You need to be out there doing something. Now, in December, I have found across the board that I've found some of my best deals, literally my best deals in December. I was laying in the hospital, gosh, I don't know how many years ago it was, 4, 5, 6 years ago, having my intestines taken out. That's gory, I know, but it was true. And I had a colostomy sack, which I had joked about my whole life about how old people get colostomy sacks. And during that time, a super deal came up. And I literally had people bring the paperwork to me in the hospital. And I signed the paperwork in the hospital. And when I signed the documents and the contracts and everything, I got out of the hospital in X number of days. I don't remember how long it was, but it was, you know, some period of time. And then right after that, we did the inspections on the property. I remember walking around the inspections, and I had people from Lifestyles helping me, just like a member. I was acting not as a mentor. I was acting as a member, saying, guys, look, I'm weak. I'm sick. I'm not on my game. I need my mentors to come mentor me just like I mentor other people. And they did. It turned out to be an incredible deal. And it led me to think to myself, wow, this stuff that we do as we mentor people and help people through this stuff is really, really important because it can change their lives. And that was just another really good real estate deal that's still paying me money, you know. And on that deal, we pay quarterly. Many deals pay monthly. A lot of my deals pay monthly, but in that particular deal, we pay quarterly. And it was a really good deal. So I look back now and I go, but what if I hadn't signed that contract while I was laying in the hospital? And what about December? Why is December so good? December is so good because so many of you have just taken off. You said, I'm going to just go. I got to go do this Thanksgiving stuff. I got to do this Christmas stuff. And you just mentally take off from trying to be successful. You mentally take off from being physically fit. Then you got the first of the year and you got all these people coming back. Yeah. But I'm going to read you some emails today. I'm going to go through a couple of them that are just really, they're long-winded. But the point I want to get to is how people see this stuff. Because you're one of the people out there, and the way you see the world is the world to you. So I would like to get some of this across so that you can see that. Now, for those of you that are members and you have access to Houston, or if you have access to our online, to sign up online where you can watch it, as a podcast, or not, it's a live stream. If you want to watch it as a live stream, you need to get online to Lifestyles. There was an email that went out. There was a link you could pick up. But if you didn't get it, get to us and get that link so you can watch it online. But today, I'm going to cover these emails because I think that they really sort of emphasize the thought processes. What I'm going to do is something I used to do a lot. People said they liked it. I just haven't done it. Again, there you go. I'm lazy. I did other things, right? These emails are something that take a lot of work, and people have to listen to them. And that's not proper radio. Proper radio is you have a soundbite every 15, you know, minutes. The entire topic can change or repeat it because people are coming on, going off the radio. But that's not what I'm going to do. So I'm going to start this email, and I'm not going to say who it's from because I didn't ask him if I could do it. It said, I heard about LUI on the radio in St. Louis about a year ago. I listened to this on 97.1 FM, and your show comes on at 7 p.m. And by the way, for those of you that don't understand what all that means, my show is syndicated. That means all over the country, if somebody wants to play my show, they just hook up to us and play it, but they can play it whenever they want because it's recorded, and I record it in the morning, but then it's there available for feed for whoever wants it throughout the day. So it's all over the country. I think, I don't know how many stations we're on now. At one time, we're on 106 stations when I asked, but I don't know what we are now. It said, I also listened to Mike Harrison and Andy Webb on Spotify. So we have another radio show you can listen to called Lifestyles Unlimited Radio. And these guys are members, Mike Harrison and Andy Webb, and they do radio shows that are, again, syndicated out there and picked up wherever they want. But also then they become podcasts, and those podcasts are on our website. So you can actually get to three different people teaching you this stuff on the radio. I mean, that's a lot of information when you think about how many hours we're on between the three of us during an entire week. That's a lot of hours of information. And each of us has a different personality, a different way that we take and attack this thing, right? So this guy goes on and says, I was surprised how much you do lines up with what I already do. I have dabbled in real estate for years and have always done well with flipping houses and holding some rentals. I've never had more than a few rentals at a time, but never took advantage of the leveraging or the compounding of the investment when I sold them. So what this guy is saying is, hey, I get what you do. You buy them cheap, you fix them up, and they're worth a lot more. But what he would do then is sell them and take the cash and spend the cash instead of leveraging up and compounding and buying more of them. So we leverage up. We take the money that we refinance the property, right, or sell the property, and then we go buy two. We leverage up. We use debt to allow us to get to large numbers of houses. My largest number was 106 or 107 houses, something like that. I don't remember which one it was. I think probably 106. And because of that, we have massive cash flow. And that's the first difference that this guy points out. So let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go through this and another guy's email that really do the same thing. They break out the difference in our theories than the rest of the world. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments. Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today, I'm in the mailbag, and I'm working with an email here that in the first segment, or the segment previous to this, we had discussed that this gentleman had said, wow, I've come to Lifestyles, and your theories are a lot like mine. We buy them cheap, we fix them up, and they're worth a lot more. The only difference was he would then sell them and keep one or two as rentals, but we fix them up, and then we don't sell them. We keep as many rentals as we can get our hands on. And at some point, we either refinance and pull the money out to buy more rentals, or sometimes we'll sell one that has great profit and buy two more. And then we keep leveraging up using debt. He never did that. So now he joins up. He says, I'm gonna take a look at this and evaluate your system. Says, what was new concept to me? That was a new concept to me, to leverage up. A couple of years ago, I decided to get back into the rental market and work my way out of a job I was in. So there it is. There's the thought. This is kind of what I wanted you to see here. He did it. He dabbled in it. He made money. He just didn't build a long-term retirement program. Then a couple years later, boom, like I said, we put down the exercise program for a while. We put down the get-rich program for a while. We put down the retirement plan for a while. We put down seeing our kids. You know, there's all these things in life we just let slip away for a while. But then, boom, something hits you and it wakes you back up. And this guy got woke back up. He said the stress of it was making me physically ill. That's his job. I bought several small single-family homes, fixed them up myself. Now, that's another concept here. It's a little different. When I first started, I'm a hands-on kind of guy. I like to build stuff. And I mean, it was kind of an excuse to me to do a little work and to buy some tools. It didn't last very long. Within about the third house, I was like, you know, this, what was fun when I didn't have it to do, now that I had to do it, wasn't fun anymore. And so I got over that and started just renovating with using companies that did it and contractors. That's the next step he has to learn here. Okay. He goes on and says, I left my job about a year ago and started my own insurance adjustment company, which is what I've done for 20 years, so I could control the workflow instead of being buried all the time. In my extra time, I work on properties to get them ready as needed. I have a background in construction from when I was younger and mentioned have worked on many properties over the years. So let's break that down a little bit here. I don't know what his construction background is. I didn't have any construction background. I just had shop classes when I was in high school, so I knew how to use tools. You can go on the internet and look up how to do just about anything these days. But again, we get away from the physically doing the work very quickly, and if you come here, we'll teach you not to do it at all. You know, let someone else, that's their job to do that kind of work. You don't do it. You're busy doing what we do, which is figuring out how to go get the deals, make the money, and get rich and successful. So the next point I wanted to get across here that he makes, is which is really important, is that once you have that financial freedom, once I had my time back, didn't have to get up and go to work 12 hours a day, 5-6 days a week, then I could go do other work. Now, I didn't go back and get another job. It just so happened that this seminar gig thing fell into my lap. People wanted me to teach them. It was easy enough to do. I set it up like a membership to my health club. You know, I was a health club guy. I said, okay, I'll just let y'all be members and come listen to me. I'll teach. It was like a fitness program, but it was a financial program, right? And I started and it grew, but that was my gig. You know, that was my side gig. My real gig was real estate investing. And the real estate investing allowed me, because it's not as time consuming as a job. I mean, yeah, you got to do a little this, a little that, and, you know, things come up and you take care of them. But when you get up in the morning, I get up in the morning at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, have my cup of coffee, walk my dogs, and then just whatever, you look at your calendar, you look at the day and see what's come up. What came up today? Look at my emails or something, and something comes up, I better deal with that. And if it doesn't, then what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? It's a weird thing. But if I want to work, like I said to somebody the other day, you know, it's time for me to get out there and do a seminar. People need to know that this is the time to buy real estate right now. So set me up. I'm going to go do a talk. So I'm going to do a talk this Thursday. I told you that in Houston. It will be live for people to come to it. And it will be simulcast, live simulcast for people that want to watch it on the simulcast. But that's just something I said I want to do. I said, it's time for me to get out there and make some points. about the market, because the market has changed dramatically. The politics have changed dramatically. There's just so much going on right now. So the guy goes, as I'm building my equity and getting more funds to work with, I'm hiring more people to do the work so I have more time to focus on investments and expanding. There you go. He figured it out. Let somebody else do the work so you have time to go buy more stuff. Listening to the shows, I became more interested in passive investing in multifamily, which is my plan to move forward. Wow. The moment you realize that you can go invest with somebody else, it's just a whole different animal. And he finally seeing it. I will likely do some single families yet if the deals are right, and they are right now. Very good. I joined in April this year at the lowest level and then took two-day class in St. Louis. I was surprised to see an old friend there who was already a preferred member and just started investing passively. I decided to become a preferred member myself and did so at the seminar. So here he is. He's been doing this forever. He comes to a seminar to learn how to do it, and all of a sudden he sees his friend there, and his friend's already been a member for a while and been doing passive deals where he doesn't even do any of the work. He just invests with other partners who do the work. Now he goes, boy, that's even easier than what I'm doing. So do you see this natural progression going on here? I call this the natural progression of a real estate investor. They figure out, don't go work on the houses. Let somebody else do that. Then eventually you go, well, don't even do the deals. Let somebody do that. But at first, you're getting to know what you're doing, right? I'm excited to get started with the passive investing and may eventually do a small IRO. IRO stands for Independent Real Estate Owner Apartment. My biggest problem has been finding contractors that can do the work for reasonable prices. Well, that's problem with everybody. Anything you want done, the inflation has made everything more expensive to do. The key is that you're just going to have to stay on top of your costs and find the right people. And one of the keys about getting the right people is knowing how to hire them, knowing how to work with them, knowing how to pay them, etc., so that they work for you. So he's gone through what I call the natural progression of a real estate investor, right? It's something that most people are going to do. Now, the next email I'm going to share with you is about a person that has just started this journey. And I want you to hear the difference between someone who's already passed through the journey and someone who's just starting the journey. Because it's you can see the difference and you can see where you could get lost in this thing, right? I want to share that with you. So I'm just going to start it now and we'll finish in the next segment. But it says, I just became a member and have been listening to the radio show for the last few months. I love the idea of generating passive income to supplement and eventually replace my 9-to-5 income. I've become more interested recently as the company I work for is probably going to start layoffs next year. Now, there it is. There's that trigger point I was talking about, right? His company is going to start layoffs next year. Boy, all of a sudden, boom, I better start thinking about this stuff. Look around. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You find my radio show. You find my podcasts. You find our networking events, and, you know, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year later, you join. And then you get into the same path that this other gentleman got into, which is the natural progression. You start out, you do a few small deals to make sure this stuff works. You get over your fear, then do a little bit more. Then maybe you go a little larger, maybe do a fourplex or so on, and maybe a small apartment complex. Or maybe by the time you've done all that, you've been to enough meetings to see that the passive investing is the easiest way to go as far as time and energy. Or maybe you want to be the lead investor and you want to do a deal and let other people invest with you. Maybe you're that hands-on guy that really likes to get out there and hustle and work and make it happen. If you're that hands-on guy, then you learn how to do that here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line, my friends, they're going through what I call a natural progression of a real estate investor. And you need to get out here and get started in December. But a lot of times, like in the investing stuff, you just don't know. So this guy sends me this email and says, hey, I'm excited. I want to do this stuff. But boom, here it comes. All right. I have not attended the two-day event yet, but I have a few questions I want to ask. Now, you got to listen to this. I'm going to read it real fast because it's irrelevant. Every one of these questions are irrelevant because the guy hasn't taken the classes yet. And that's the point I want to get across. You think you know what we do here. You don't know what we do here. Let me tell you what we do. We buy a house that's worth $200,000 and we buy it for $100,000. You can't do that. Yes, we do. We put $50,000 into it. Now we own it for $150,000. I said, wow, how can you get that much work done for $50,000? We do. And then it's worth $200,000. Now, we use hard money lenders who lend us the entire amount of money, and all we have is closing costs. So we maybe have anywhere from 5, 10, at the most $25,000 out of pocket. 35 at the worst if you had a deal that wasn't that exciting. And we make anywhere from $200 to $500 a month in cash flow, and then we capture equity capture between 50 and 200%, maybe even more, in equity. So what do we mean? If I buy this house for $10,000 out of pocket, I'm going to make at least $10,000 in equity capture. If I buy it for $25,000 out of pocket, I'm going to make at least $25,000 equity capture. I might make as much as $50,000 and have a 200% return on my $25,000. I put in $25,000, I've made $50,000. Now, I've seen people put in $10,000 and make $50,000, and that's a 500% return. I've seen people make anywhere from $50,000 to 100% return. So now listen to what this guy says and understand. He has no idea what we're doing, yet before he even takes the classes, he's already come up with the conclusion that it doesn't work. Now, it's funny because he signed up. But before he's even going to take the time to take the classes, he goes, I don't think it works. So let me read this to you. I have not attended any classes, but I have a few questions I want to ask. I have found a few houses and even a fourplex that I'm interested in buying. The fourplex sounds particularly interesting. Four bedroom, one bath units. It's in the Missouri area, listed for $45,000. That's incredibly cheap. And it's fully rented at $350 a unit. So you've got $1,400 a month paying on a mortgage that would be like maybe $500, $800, depending on the taxes, insurance. It's unbelievable. And he says it doesn't work. He goes on and says, my question is for this property is how do you handle the existing tenants? Oh, now it's a problem because he's got four paying tenants. Not a problem. I'm sure I will need some updating and some repairs, which I would like to do and ensure that there is no problems. What do you do with the tenants while you're doing the repairs? On and on and on. Where does the money come from for the repairs? If you put the repairs into the mortgage, then you don't have as much cash flow and the deal doesn't seem to make any sense. I watched a video on YouTube about a couple who takes distressed properties and rehabs them and rented them out. The cash flow and the rentals were so minuscule it seemed like it didn't make any sense. One house they did, right? After all bills paid, only took home $44 a month. That just seems like a waste of my time. So you see, he doesn't understand anything. They might only have $44 a month in cash flow, but they might have made $100,000 on the front end. They might, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100. Who knows? You don't know from that story. But the point is, he says one deal, one couple, one deal has made me believe it does. I don't understand. It can't work. It doesn't work. It maybe doesn't work. And that, my friends, is why we lose you. And we'll lose you until that day when the stock market crashes and the boss fires you. And then you go, man, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. But this guy went ahead and joined up and still doesn't believe it because he hadn't come to the class yet. Let me give you two other ones here that I want to squeeze in before we're done here. This one says, I think you're the greatest. I love your opinion and perspective on everything. I joined Lifestyles and I am trying to fit the formula, but I can't. I'm 57 years old woman, and I cannot buy houses that cost $95 a square foot, fix them up with one loan, and then switch to conventional loan. I live in Dallas. Real estate is expensive there. We do this all day long in Dallas. She goes, I can't go into neighborhoods that have $95 per square foot prices. The $95 per square foot is the distressed price. You're going to get $200 per square foot when you come out the other end. And even the same thing, you're not going into those neighborhoods other than to maybe look at the house before you buy it, other to inspect the repairs. You don't go live there, right? So in her brain, she's already joined and she can't fathom doing what we do. Yet we do it and make massive amounts of money. She goes, would you recommend going straight into passive investing? Of course, if you've got that kind of I can't do it myself mentality, then go ahead and go in passive. But my friends, again, she's in the middle of it being done, seeing case studies like we'll have this Thursday night, seeing the deals done, people talking about, and she's going, she's 57, she can't do it. Yet here's another email from a lady 60 years old. She goes, I have my first house. This lady's 60. I'm excited, getting ready to go for another one next month. Thank you and your team. But I have a question for you. My home that I'm living in now, I'm planning to move in 2026 after I retire from work. I will be selling it and moving to North Carolina. I was thinking to refinance it and buy more houses. Or should I wait until I sell my house? I'm back and forth on this answer. Can I get an opinion? Listen to the difference. This lady's 3 years older than the other lady. And she's already done a house and looking for a second one and wants to refinance her house. And the answer is if she can pull 60 grand out of her house, she could do at least two more deals, probably three or four. And if you think about it, if she's already got, she's got one, she's working on the second one. If she pulls that money out, she can do four more. And now she's got six houses. Let's say they're paying her cash flow and she made 50 grand on each house. Think how much closer to retirement she is in just 2 years. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.